So Kevin, I know you're big into social media. are you aware of things that we as millennials are doing wrong on social media now, including are you aware of the millennial pause?
I the first thing I thought of was the millennial pause, and ever since it was pointed out to me, Chad, it's actually started to bother me a little bit.
It's bothering you that you know you have a millennial pause and you can't, and you're doing it?
Well, the millennial pause is like when the video starts, there's like a breath. And like, I'm not making videos that much, but if I looked at like the videos I made for my Patreon over at givekevinmoney.com, I probably have the millennial pause.
Givekevinmoney.com.
Yeah. But when I hear it in videos, I hate that I notice it, and it just completely throws me off.
Not to defend the millennial pause as a millennial, you need that pause before record because that's just professional for editing.
Right.
It's not our fault that video editing software on phones is awful.
Yeah.
Right? Like, you can't, if it was on a computer, you go, yeah, I'm just going to trim that half second out, make it really good, so just jump right in. So millennial pauses, if you can't tell what we're talking about, is, I guess, anyone of a certain age, when they're recording something, it's like, hey, so how's it going? Like, so there's just that.
Yeah,
that extra beat, and I never thought about it. Zoomers hate it. They fucking hate it.
That's fine. We don't have to like get along. Like we don't like if we have different cultures, I think that's fine. I noticed it now, and it bothers me, but it doesn't make me like it doesn't put up a wall between me and the information. But I am, in fact, a millennial, and I understand that people have lungs and need to breathe.
Yeah, I mean, what's the other option? Zoomers, you just start mid-talking so your syllables are cut off, or your TikTok captions are awful. You are misspelling words nonstop. English language falling apart. I'd rather have a pause. Take a pause. Check your spelling. Make sure it's good.
Why do Zoomers feel like they got to rush all the time, man? Slow down. Why? Just because the world's on fire?
Yeah, yeah. You have a limited amount of time to post your hot take on, Dune 2. I feel like Zoomers don't even give a shit about Dune 2. I feel like that's like an old man thing.
Yeah, I feel like no one's like giving a shit about Dune 2. Like all the stuff I see from it is like, what do you want? It's more Timothy Chalamet in the desert with worms. I'm like, that's what Dune is. That's Dune.
My 30-something friends are all been freaking out about it, but I can share a deep confession here on the podcast. I have never read Dune.
Neither have I. Dune. Paul is the Dune head in the group, and he's on Arrakis right now, so he can't be here.
Yeah, yeah. He just kept saying the spice must flow.
And he walked away without rhythm to not attract the worms.
The other young social media thing I was shocked to find was, I guess, like, shooting at an upward angle is bad.
I mean, I don't want to look up somebody's nose. I think that's fine.
No, that's what they want.
What?
Like, you know how so if you're gonna take like a selfie or record yourself, your natural inclination is to raise the camera above your head so it's shooting down on you.
Yeah, because I'm 5'7" and that's how the world sees me.
Apparently that's a millennial thing, and Zoomers are like, that's embarrassing that they. You should shoot at a low angle, upward chin, up the nose.
What?
Our youth is young. We don't have foldy skin, or we don't care about foldy skin. upward angle shot. And I think that's really interesting.
I think it shows how imprisoned we are by our phones that we're going to war over these very like small details.
Mm-hmm. I also didn't care. I mean, I didn't care. But the Gen Alpha, Gen Z has declared war, so we must go to war with them.
I think it's the boomers just doing false flag operations against all of us.
Yeah, probably. There's probably just some like 60-year-old man stirring the pot.
Or maybe it's just fun to fight over nonsense stuff.
I think Well, it's the one thing we can care about. We can matter. I think like, I've been playing some Helldivers 2.
Yeah.
And it's a great game. There's some good satire there. It does feel like there's at least some level of a couple hundred thousand people going, I'm making a change in this digital map. I can kill some bugs and I can see a progress. I am winning the war for Super Earth because recycling doesn't matter in my neighborhood.
I mean, if you're not separating paper and plastic, then your recycling's just going in the trash.
That's fucking awful. It's awful to think about. Speaking of Timothy Chalamet, by the way.
Yeah.
We were talking about Timothy Charlatan.
What? What's it? What? What's that?
It's the awful joke. The guy, so we're talking about the Glasgow.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
Willy's chocolate
experience, officially known as Willy's chocolate experience, but like the Glasgow Willy Wonka pop up Instagram child event generated by AI and this weird guy who's disappeared from the internet.
Oh yeah, I've been waiting to hear like the company that threw this thing. I have heard nothing from them.
Yeah, so
they seem to just vanished.
Yeah, it's this weird dude who like wrote a bunch of right wing novels and stuff. Not novels.
Oh, just, of
like,
course. Yeah, of course.
He like generates shit with AI and tries to make a quick buck off of it. And he's just I knew we would be talking about this once I saw The Unknown.
We got to talk about The Unknown. He threw the event for all these Scottish kids, and all of the art was generated by AI. It turns out the script for the actors was generated by AI.
Yeah.
And it's now been shared by, you know, some of the actors who are in it. But there's great footage of kids walking through. Like, it makes DashCon. Remember DashCon? It makes DashCon look not that bad.
What was DashCon?
DashCon was like the Tumblr convention in like 2013, 2014 that wasn't thrown by Tumblr, but a bunch of Tumblr users were like, let's make a con for Tumblr.
Yeah, this is so like Fire Festival or whatever. Like, it's kind of
Oh, Kevin, if you weren't in DashCon at the time, was such a fun trash fire because it was like same thing. They sold these big expensive tickets. And they hadn't rented the venue. And that was just conversation about DashCon. But the big and like there was all of this beautiful stuff of like, not to make fun of anyone who went to it, but like when the venue was running out of money, they were like, we need everyone to donate money right now, $40,000, or we're losing the hotel. And like the users at that convention all organized by holding their hands up tribute style from the Hunger Games. Like just a very embarrassing thing. But the shining moment of DashCon, which became a big meme, was like, oh, we'll give our users 5 extra minutes in the ball pit.
Oh, yes. Okay, yeah. And didn't the ball pit like injure people?
wait, that might be too... Maybe. There's that ball pit was sad.
Yeah.
There's a Twitch convention
that foam
pit that like broke like one person's spine at least because people were jumping into it and it wasn't actually deep. It was like 2 feet deep.
I feel like conventions were already on this trajectory before COVID of just becoming like these dangerous, like how cheap can we make these Instagrammable experiences? But... Okay, so Willy's Chocolate Experience in Glasgow, which
the new one of this. Yeah.
It's in case you're not listening to this in March of 2024, or it's like late March of 2024 and something else crazy has already happened.
Oh, God, what's happened later this month? I don't even want to imagine.
I shudder to think about it. But like it spawned all this stuff because the AI created a villain called The Unknown, who's just... He's just a teenager in a mask.
I'm sorry. He's an evil chocolatier who lives in the walls of Wonka's factory, is what the AI generated.
Yeah, and that's like, I'm mad to say that's great. And also he's defeated by a vacuum, and a vacuum prop was never provided to the now canceled Willy character.
Yeah, the actor who is, most of the actors have shared their stuff. I saw The Unknown shared his stuff, and boy, he is... beautiful without his mask.
I thought The Unknown was I don't know who played The Unknown. I know that the Oompa Loompas were offered like 500 British pounds sterling or whatever for.
That's more than I thought they would get.
Yeah, me too. Well, they're only paid half of it, unfortunately. Of course. But like, I was like, hell yeah, I would have taken that job for like $600 for 2 days of work. That's not bad.
I've thought so much of the little footage that's been shared of it. Is people going through this. Yeah, and it's just like an empty warehouse with like one prop candy mushroom.
Yeah.
An AI banner that's 5 feet by 3 feet that doesn't fit on the wall that is more Candyland than Willy Wonka. Like, and at some point, the script generates a like Willy Wonka go, what is that? It's the unknown. And then behind just a tiny mirror, a guy with a Jabberwocky's mask and long... Coheed and Cambria hair came out, and you can hear a child just genuinely go, nah, like it messed that kid up. That kid is messed up.
Apparently, the Oompa Loompas were distributing a single jelly bean and
a couple of lemonade or whatever, Country Time
lemonade or something like that. Like, it's just, it's terrible. It's a terrible thing, and folks are traumatized. But, like, what I'm obsessed with is that I arrived at like this internet moment.
Yeah.
Long enough that people still thought it was bad and that it was dumb and a disappointment. But yeah. Then something weird happened, Chad. Everyone decided that the unknown was actually a great idea. And and that Meth Lab Oompa Loompa was like kind of a mood. And now there's just fan art and people are like obsessed with it. And I'm like, please don't make this a successful outing for AI.
I know. I know. I took that lesson as like, here's a point that AI cannot. I think it's still a genuine terror that it'll take creative jobs at some point.
Yeah.
Studios are going to try. I'm in the animation guild, and that is a huge problem right now.
Yeah.
But like, there's some level of, well, if you read the script that the Oompa Loompa put out, or that the Oompa Loompa, they just called the AI the Oompa Loompa. That's not true. I just made that up. But like, it's not good. It's not coherent. Like, at least right now, it's not replacing script writing. But then it kind of did, right? Like, it's
human creativity, human desire to jump on the algorithm to serve another series of numbers, kind of propelled like the unknown and Meth Lab Oompa Loompa into like desirable meme that zone, like into the public consciousness, or maybe not even the public, maybe like, I don't know. I don't know why.
Internet consciousness. Yeah, no, I get it.
I don't know why I see stuff anymore. Like, I don't know why. I don't know why the, like.
Just in general with your eyeballs or what?
Well, like, I don't know why Twitter in general or my Twitter feed was just throwing nonstop like Willy's Chocolate Experience memes at me. I don't want it. I don't want to see it. And now I know too much about it.
Yeah, I mean, it was just kind of like it was a hot disaster of the thing. I do agree with you. There's part of me that I've read Chocolate Factory and whatever Glass Elevator, the second book.
I was gonna say we should read the second book because it's a trip.
Yeah, all I remember is like in the basement are just like eldritch spirits or something. There's just like it's like there's this whole other level of like, I don't think you should have this, Wonka. This is bad.
Yeah, and like Wonka gives Charlie's grandparents like anti-age serum, and he gives them too much, so they become babies, and then they go even farther back and they go into like the anti-time realm or the negative zone or something like that.
Sure, yeah. Just so like the level of the AI thing that saying there's an evil chocolatier in the walls of the mansion, like, yeah, that kind of tracks. Like, I could see that. And what I'm terrified of, I have not seen the Timothy Chalamet Wonka. Here it's charming. The next Wonka that's less than 10 years away, because they'll just keep doing this.
Yes, right? Because billionaires think they are William Wonka.
Yeah, 100%. Will they in the next Wonka adaptation go, like, a little Easter egg of the unknown? Or, like... Yeah, there'll be like a line referencing like, we once had a creature living in our walls, but I fluffed it out with foam.
Oh yeah, it's a vacuum. I don't know why I know this, but a vacuum defeats the unknown. You can just vacuum.
Yeah,
the
And then the actor didn't have the vacuum, so he was supposed to improvise the vacuum.
I said like the $600 for being an Oompa Loompa for 2 days was a pretty good deal. Apparently, they had to learn like a 15-page AI written script by heart. So I don't think that's such a good deal.
It's also still not paid enough. Like, what was they were charging families like £35, whichever much money that is. That seems like a lot to walk through a warehouse.
That's like $50.
That's a lot. It's a lot of money.
That you could get like almost two pizzas for that.
You could almost get a new Final Fantasy game for that much money.
Yeah, and like I think what it brings to light is like how much AI is going to be used for scams and is already used for scams. Like,
totally.
I think maybe that's the long-term legacy of the unknown will be like, oh yeah, that was like one of those first big AI scams, and now it's all the time. Everything's AI scams.
And this next movie, we got Gary Oldman. He's the unknown. Like, and just like, okay. And you remember, like, I think when movies do try to reference like internet memes, you've never saw the third X-Men movie, but
I might have. I have friends who like X-Men, and I go to see movies with them. What that would be like around what, like 2009 or something?
Yeah, that's when where Kelsey Grammer plays Beast for the first time.
I definitely saw that in theaters.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I did too. But like, there's that one where like, oh, the Juggernaut's in it. That's pretty cool. And because it was a meme at the time, they had Vinnie Jones go, I'm the Juggernaut, bitch.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's weird. Like, that's weird. It's weird that this little internet meme made it into this movie about exterminating a minority or group. Also, that movie's not good, so whatever. Fucking put it in.
Jed, I'm gonna be honest. I don't think I know a good X-Men from a bad X-Men. Like, I don't think I know X-Men being awesome from it.
X2, being Kevin. Weird. I'm gonna show you X2.
Sure.
Nightcrawler tries to kill the president in the beginning of the movie.
Is that the one with Angel?
No, Angel's not. Well, there's Angel's in the third one, and they ruined Angel in that one. I think. And then Angel's in. Again, in Age of Apocalypse, and also not good. It's really tough to be an X-Man fan.
I'm flashing back to seeing this movie with my X-Man friends, and one of the X-Men, Pyro, went to my high school.
So, what?
Yeah.
Oh man, were you like? Did you talk to him? Was he constantly flicking up a lighter and just like?
Yes. Yeah.
Saying I can only control the flame. I can't conjure it. And then you were like. You have more power than you think, young Pyro.
Is he around? Like, or is he just in the first one?
He is only in one and two because he joins the Brotherhood. I think he's in three. I saw in the new Deadpool. Now it's just an advertisement for Marvel movies. In the new Deadpool movie that's doing the multiverse thing, because of course it is.
Yeah.
There's like one older guy in the movie. I'm like, that's Pyro. Like, they're bringing Pyro back. Which is kind of cool.
Yeah, on my hometown friends chat, they're like, Pyro's going to be in the new one.
Oh, hell yeah. I saw one potential, maybe this is a leak thing, of like, maybe implying that there's some level of a wacky racist plot in Deadpool 3, which is like, maybe a dream movie for me.
I mean, I just want to see the best Wolverine again, so I'll probably watch it.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. Oh, God. Hugh Jackman.
How many more opportunities will we have for Hugh Jackman Wolverine?
They keep saying goodbye to him, and he's like, bring him, put on the clothes one more time.
Even older man, Logan.
It's either this or Greatest Showman. What am I doing?
Why? Por que no los dos?
Sorry, I took a line. What does that mean?
It means let the good times roll, baby. Welcome to Goosebuds.
Ooh, I like that. Welcome to Goosebuds. We are short one of our Goose Buddies today. Paul is hunting for spice, is what we've established.
And we've decided that, you know, we support his spice hunt.
Yeah, he's got one of those, like, sleep apnea masks. Looks like everyone's wearing in them, and he's walking around, and, he's just rolling around in the sand.
Yeah, those sleep apnea Bane masks or whatever.
Getting thrown around by... Batista, I guess. Is he in that one? I don't know.
Sure.
There's some Dune fans listening to this so mad. I'm so sorry.
your other two podcast dads are here.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm Kevin.
Hi, I'm Chad. And normally, we read the works of R.L. Stine and other YA books, and today we are reading another one of the Master of Horrors, Goosebumps Horrorland series, The Scream of the Haunted Mask.
I thought this one was great.
I didn't hate it, I guess. I didn't hate it.
I almost doubted if this was RL or not, but I learned that The Haunted Mask, the original from 1993, is RL considers that to be his proudest moment. He thinks that's his number one. And this is a direct sequel to The Haunted Mask, which is very interesting considering there's a 15-year gap between the original and this one.
This is how long it's been published. So Carly Beth has not aged. She is in... It's funny enough, I hadn't even considered it. Yeah, I guess, is that story still taking place in the 90s versus mid-2000s?
Yeah. Is there a time portal?
It's established that it's been a year.
Yes.
It's been less than a Halloween since the last Haunted Mask encounter.
And they really expect you to be super familiar with that first book. I had to look up a synopsis as I was reading to check what happened in the Haunted Mask.
Well, also, maybe you know better if you just rechecked it. As we were reading through this book, I was like, this is really cool that this is, I like that when they're keeping these kids alive because they're so interchangeable, why not at least keep using these kids?
Yeah.
Right? Like, why not do the Scream thing of like, at this point, now these characters all know Ghostface and are smarter and can build the tension faster.
Yeah.
But like, I thought for sure Haunted Mask 1 ended with, the shopkeeper had made the mask. Mm-hmm. And then the masks all went flying off the shelves and like attacked him.
I'm not sure about that, but I think at the end of Haunted Mask, Carly Beth's stupid little brother Noah puts the mask on, but that is not acknowledged very much in this book.
Oh, okay. So I guess it must have made its way back for it. Yeah. There was just this,
The mask shopkeeper is around in this one, and he's just kind of, like, catty and lame. Like, he's not very... He just has no refunds, essentially. That's the whole part.
So we can get into it. I think this one's fun, but I think actually for the reasons that have nothing to do with the mask.
Yes.
I think this is a non-haunted mask story that a mask was sort of just shoved onto the way an ill-fitting mask often is.
I think that this one has a premise within it that would have made a stronger title than just calling it Scream of the Haunted Mask. It's got something in there that I think is very marketable that there's a desire for.
Are we saying the same thing? Ghost horses?
Ghost horses.
Yeah.
Wild ghost horses.
Stampede of the ghost horse or something, you know?
Yeah, like this one is very horse girl.
Yeah.
In general, this kind of feels like a Fear Street Junior.
Yeah.
It's like very girl powery, not girl powery. Don't say that kind of.
No, but she and her friend Sabrina, who I'm assuming is from the pre-digital book too, is like they're like running a daycare, I guess.
Yeah, they work at a daycare center or something that's based out of an old farm. It's like
tumble down. I wrote it down. Was it called Tumble Down Town?
Yeah, Tumble Down Town. Tumble on down. It's called Tumble Down.
Yeah,
yeah, Tumble Down.
Tumble Down Farm, maybe.
Sure, why not?
Actually, Tumble Down's a pretty good name just for a kid's day center.
Yeah, it's cute. All right, where to start with this?
Carly Beth is haunted by memories of the mask and putting on the mask and being unable to stop herself putting on the mask.
And the mask feels like human flesh and is warm, and it goes bup, bup, bup.
Is that like a little bubbling sound?
Yeah, it goes bup, bup, bup. It says like the lips are jangling around. They just go bup 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 bup.
Okay, that's gotta be any latex mask. The worst part about it is that like interface it has with your lips and tongue and mouth. So Carly Beth, we established early on, much like the Telltale Heart.
Yep.
Has the haunted mask from last year. Stored in a lockbox in her basement.
In her rumpus room, next to the pool table.
All of these old relics of ancient times. It is not clear why Carly Beth doesn't try to destroy it.
And Sabrina's even like, you gotta get rid of that thing. But Carly Beth says that she doesn't want another person, like, finding it. And I'm like, have you tried fire? Or, like, putting it in a catapult and shooting it into the sun, like...
Yeah, at least, like, it's not even doing the slappy doll thing of you destroy it and it comes back around. It's just she just keeps it in the lockbox and refuses. She's like, I'll get around to it, you know? One of these days, I'll clean up the basement. I'll put it away.
Which, you know, relatable. Like, I put off stuff, too.
This is why Frodo... This is like Frodo with the ring for so long. He was like, I know I gotta put it in Mount Doom, but just, like... I got stuff to do.
Yeah,
I'll get around to it.
All right, we'll put it where no one can find it. Gandalf's like, "Ooh, buddy."
Gandalf come. What if the entire version of the Fellowship was like Gandalf coming in like Marie Kondo, and just like,
gotta get rid of all these rings.
Gotta read all these rings, all these old papers and books. What is this, like a story Bilbo wrote? Get rid of it.
Throw it in the fire. Does it spark joy? It's quite cool, but does it spark joy?
So we just have this mask lingering around. And I guess Carly Beth is terrified that someday she'll be tempted to put the mask back on.
We also have this really long bus ride sequence between Carly Beth and Sabrina where they basically kind of recap a lot of what their life is and like what happened in the haunted mask, kind of. We know there are two pranksters, Chuck and Steve, who like to scare Carly Beth because she's a bit of a baby. She gets a scaredy cat, if you will. Yeah,
they use a real life science snake as a fear, which is like, that's crossing the line. You don't use animals like that.
Well, this is not the worst thing to happen to animals.
No, true. Chuck and Steve are like, I guess they're there for some, you know, chapter ending cliffhangers.
Yeah.
They don't really have an impact on the story at all.
I think they were in the first one. Again, I only read the synopsis to the first one. They were around for that. They had a bigger part. There's also mention of Gary Steadman, a.k.a. The Steadman, who apparently Carly Beth has a minor crush on, but not even he really shows up.
No, there's never a thing of like, I finally got a date with Steadman, but the mask is stuck on. Oh, how inconvenient. And Kevin, you not only are you right that Chuck and Steve were in the first one, I want to ask, we should check, because you were not yet with us as a counselor when we were at Haunted Mask.
I don't think I was even with you as an editor. It was a really early Goosebumps.
Oh, yeah, because it was one of the first Goosebumps books ever.
Yeah.
So, like, what is your, I guess, like, what's your history with this book? You never read The Haunted Mask?
I did not read The Haunted Mask. I did read the Wikipedia synopsis of The Haunted Mask, or the Goosebumps Wiki synopsis of The Haunted Mask. I watched the Haunted Mask episode of the Goosebumps reboot on Disney Plus. Did not finish that series. But I kind of get it. It's a mask. It's haunted. It attaches itself to your skin. It makes you evil. It pumps evil into your veins.
Yeah, it's much like the Jim Carrey mask.
Yeah.
It has a dark presence to it.
Apparently, RL got the idea for it on Halloween when his son couldn't get a mask off of his face. And he's like, that would be a good idea for a scary story.
I find it actually kind of a scary. I get claustrophobic. I find this actually kind of a scary idea to have it trapped around you and feel suffocating.
I think I kind of mashed it up in my head with the horrors of the Black Ring, which is also kind of a cursed item, makes you not yourself sort of story.
Oh, yes. I had to, there's been so many Goosebumps books. I had to recall which one that was.
That was an early one for me. That was back in the Goosebumps 2000s, I think.
You're right. No, that was another possessed item. And listen, this is a trope in horror, right? Demonically filled thing. I don't think we ever know where the origin of the mask is. I think I'm confusing the original TV show in my mind too, where there was like, these are all dead, sad people that he harvested the mask from. I think I'm just inventing that. I'm trying to find like an origin point for them.
All of the masks are like dead kids or something like that. And like the happy mask salesman has a bunch of them or whatever.
Yeah, like you would join them, or maybe we're just improving the original story by adding that detail.
Who can say? There are definitely some slow portions of this, but I do like that the supernatural aspect after the last book, after Monster Blood for Breakfast, I like that we're getting some supernatural stuff up front, kind of like we get in Randy Johnson's books or whatever.
Jonathan Rand?
Yeah, Randy Johnson.
Randy Johnson, I think, is a baseball player.
Yeah, well, he could be a lot of things.
who also is a scary man. I think like so much of this is about, not really about the mask, right? Like it's mentioned throughout the story in terms of it's lingering in the back of Carly's head, and Carly is constantly looking for connections to the mask.
Yep.
But so much of this is around Tumbledown Farms.
Yep.
And these little kids that Carly, Beth, and Sabrina take care of.
Yeah, these little kids that are definitely going to be used for like emotional like capital later. Like,
yeah. Well, yeah. I was like, oh, so at some point, one of these kids find the mask, and that's going to be awful. That doesn't even happen. Instead, the Tumbledown Farms has a legend of the haunted barn.
Yeah.
In which maybe the saddest story in Goosebumps we've ever heard.
Yeah. So, Karen, is it Laura? Laura.
Yeah, Laura, who I honestly forgot who she was as soon as she entered and left.
Laura goes to private school. She's blonde and she's not suspicious at all, but she's around. And Mrs. Lang is a Southern belle who runs the kindergarten, kind of. She's never around.
She's never around. At some point during one of their parties, she just goes to get more cider. I'm like, you can't leave the building.
Yeah.
You're the only adult here.
You're leaving like 12-year-olds in charge of 4-year-olds.
In the woods? This is, yeah, you can't do this.
Yeah, it's dumb. And they find an abandoned stable. And Carly Beth is like, come on, children, let's look at it. And Laura's like, no, get away from there. And I'll tell you why. And she tells this scary story after all the kids go home crying about this stable boy who apparently wore a crazy mask and caused all the horses in the stable.
Was he trying to scare the horses was the story.
Yeah, and he caused the horses screamed. They talk about the screaming of the horses.
Yeah, a horse can scream. It's more of a neigh.
It's called
yeah.
Scream of the Haunted Mask, so I appreciate the screams being incorporated in here.
Yeah, that's a literature.
That's literature. You did it. But he also talks about Laura's scary story. The horses were so afraid that they basically just ran into the sides of the stable and piled up in like a car wreck of a dozen.
Yeah.
A pile of a dozen horses that scared themselves to death.
Which is
so sad. And I know horses are extremely fragile animals that shouldn't exist. They're like,
oh, well, they're, you know, they should exist. It's God has never given us such a beautiful creature that we need to cherish and value as much as the fragile horses.
Yeah, it's like a half ton creature suspended on like four toothpicks that if they break.
Glass menagerie of animals.
It's very sad. Like, I knew because Chad, you're a horse boy at heart. Like,
Yeah, I grew up the son of a horseman. Yep. And learned a lot about them, and I actually would believe this could happen.
But 12 whole horses somehow.
I mean, it depends on like how they're being kept in the barn. Do they have separate like stables?
They can slip and hurt themselves on stuff. Like if it was a slick floor or something.
Yeah,
if they had just waxed the stable floor or something. And the horses had their slippers on or something.
Yeah, yeah, they hadn't. And yeah, the hay is flying everywhere. This would be an insane freak accident, but if you told me it happened, I could believe it.
Just the image of 12 horses piled in a heap, all dead. It's just,
it breaks my heart. Yeah. I mean, it's a real, you know, crowds do this. Human crowds can do this if they get scared and pushed in the wrong direction. So,
but usually a few people live. Like, it's usually not
there 100. Should have been one horse to live to tell the tale.
Like, if you're trampled, usually you don't die of trampling someone. You look back and you're like, uh-oh, I think I have to live with this now. None of the horses lived.
And it's funny, is I don't think this was nearly important to me, is the stable boy died. Yeah. And even later, like, Laura's like, someone's like, don't you care about the kid? I'm like, no.
Yeah, like, Carly Beth doesn't remember, like, barely remembers that the stable boy died. She's like, eh. And like, I wouldn't expect RL to be so ahead of us like that. Like, that's why I was like, did RL write this one? But I think it kind of has to be him. I think I think Haunted Mask is probably closer to his heart than maybe even Slappy.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah, it might be. This is just like, and it's not super important, but this just started to like where the story becomes about like, oh, you say it was a haunted mask, right? Mm-hmm. I wonder if it was my haunted mask. And like, well, I don't know that actually is possible based on, again, I wish I had been able to fully reread the original story. I don't know how that makes sense that the original shopkeeper from last year would have had a mask that killed some horses over a century ago, and because I thought he made the mask, so that can't be true. Like, it was already just kind of a non-starter for me.
I kind of assumed there were multiple haunted masks or something. Yeah. But like, if I heard that like there was a haunted mask incident in my neighborhood, I would probably be like, oh, it's probably the same one. I should definitely do something about it.
I guess that's fair. I guess that's true. It just seems like, I don't know, Carly, but they're really reaching to make this about you and your mask.
Did you write down anything about Carly Beth's gamer parents?
Yes! Yes, this is the parents are not, it was so interesting and we do nothing with it because there's like one sentence mentioning my parents weren't paying attention and didn't care about any of this. They became obsessed with a video game and have staying up all night playing it together. What was it called? Like
Warmaster 2, but it's almost definitely Call of Duty. They're playing COD there.
I guess because it's the Roman numeral 2, maybe they're like, oh, this is more of a like a Warhammer or something.
But they talk about like machine guns and grenades and stuff. So I think they're playing COD.
That the parents are obsessed with Call of Duty, which probably would have been like Modern Warfare 2. Which, at the time,
which I was like, hell yeah, like that's awesome. Like I think a kid would find that funny and cool too, being like, a parent playing video games. things? Like,
it's so funny to imagine that they're playing, either they're doing couch co-op, maybe that still existed back then, or they're like trading off online, or like one of the parents is talking shit on mic to other kids.
Well, dude, okay, so that, like, I didn't play COD, but in college, my my roommates would, one would be on headset talking shit, and the other one would be actually playing the game.
I did that in college, too. I think it was Modern Warfare 4. I've lost track. The fact that they've renumbered them and retitled them makes it super hard to remember. No, it's an addictive game. they figured out that if you just have XP going up on your character level after you kill someone, you go, I feel good.
Yes.
Number goes up.
Bar fill out.
Yeah. Endorphins hit. So the parents addicted to Call of Duty.
Yeah.
Is I would say just as interesting, if not more interesting, of a horror story.
Yeah,
this, I think, than what we read.
This gets so far away from The Haunted Mask. The Haunted Mask only kind of shows up as like a celebrity at the end, and that might almost be more fun.
Yeah, well, she keeps going to check on the mask, right? It's like, it's not even Chekhov's mask at this point. It's just like, after every kind of major incident, she's like, is the mask still down there? I'm worried about putting it on, but I'm going to go check on it. So he's like, you should go with a second person. You should always go with a second person, like a safety, to check your mask. And the mask is like alive, going like, almost Halloween. Almost Halloween.
And there's like a 15-year brick joke where she opens up the box and there's a duck costume in there from the last book. And it's like, I feel kind of bad, but also I'm reading this in a serialized, like, Horrorland is serialized. Like, you have to read them in order, but also I have to go out of order to go back to 1993 and read another Goosebumps book, because this is also a continuation of that. Like, I'm going to have to draw a goddamn chart.
So yeah, it feels like, the mask is just kind of in the background.
Yeah.
Carly is looking for connections. She thinks maybe this old stable boy used the mask.
Yeah.
But and even though the mask has said almost Halloween, which is clearly its strike date.
Yep.
She doesn't seem worried about, like, I don't know, securing it that night, or I don't know, getting rid of it by that night.
Is strike date like a true crime word? Like.
Yeah, I don't know. It's like the attack. In my mind, the down in its little locker, the haunted mask, is like making little notches on the inside of its case, going like, almost Halloween, and that's when I strike.
I wish it kind of like waddled around or did something, or like smoked a cigarette.
I swore it flew in the first one, so it's got the ability to transport itself if it wants to.
Yeah, it doesn't do much. So at this point, like, RL's hit a bit of a wall where he's established stuff, but he can't figure out how to move things forward. So he pulls on the classic, we have to do a school report on local legends in order to get the plot spinning up again. So Sabrina and Carly Beth go to the farm on the bus, because everything happens on the bus.
The fact that this bus takes you to the farm, oh, what a transit system.
Yeah, I know. Like, I want to live in this town. But they've got farms, they've got childcare, they've got video game playing adults and gainfully employed children. Like,
this is maybe one of the best cities in Goosebumps to ever live in. Yeah.
Carly Beth and Sabrina go to do their report on local legends on the ghost horses in the barn. Carly Beth, sweetheart that she is, brings a bag of carrots for the ghost horses, and I thought this was gonna be a gag, but we'll come back to the carrots. It's just, they take some selfies on an old haunted stool,
and they're like, do you think the stable boy ever sat on this stool? Like, I don't know, maybe probably hundreds of other people, Carly Beth. It's a stool.
it's just a stool.
But there's no significance to the story here.
But that did bring back memories of, like, ghost hunting in haunted mansions or abandoned mansions or whatever with my hood rat friends back in high school.
Oh, I would love to have done that with you, Kevin. This was reminding me of a lot of ghost hunting TV shows of just kind of looking for any possible signs of ghosts when there aren't any.
Yeah.
Never at any point is there ever a connection to, like, try to either research the farm, to look up who the boy was.
Nope.
The owner of Tumbledown Farms is vague. Like, it doesn't, I guess, really matter. But, like, you think there'd be, like, one old farmhand that's like, you stay away from the barn. Instead, it's just...
Yeah, Laura's just like, stay away from the barn because... And we're like, okay.
Horses died.
Yeah, yeah, horses died. And we're like, okay, well, I mean, you don't go to our school, so. Private school, fine, whatever.
So after they do their photo shoot in the barn,
Sabrina betrays Carly Beth, which is fucked up. She's like, you know, those two dudes who like bully you.
Oh my God, you're right.
They hear a horse whinny, and Sabrina's like, haha, got you, bitch, you idiot. You trusted me, you stupid idiot. And Carly Beth isn't even mad at Sabrina, which I think is insane.
It's also, it's insane. It's also like a non-starter scare because, you know, this is so much what these books do, right? The prank scare.
Yeah.
And then, but then Steve and Chuck aren't even there. So like,
yeah, they forgot that they were supposed to traumatize Carly Beth that day. So they're just playing. They're just like getting their asses kicked by her parents on War Master 2. So
yeah. Oh my God. Whoever Carly Beth's parents 808 is double prestige. Like it's just a weird thing to even have other than to keep these two boys alive in the story.
Yeah. But they're gone after this, like they don't really show up again. And when they turn back, they see a boy on the roof of the stable, who's obviously the stable boy ghost.
Kind of scary,
but like doesn't really work. Cause we meet a stable boy character named Clark who Carly Beth is like, this kid's obviously a ghost. And he's just like, howdy, y'all. I'm Clark. I like to skateboard. I'm here being a normal child.
Is Clark a stable boy? I thought Clark was one of the kids going to Tumble Down that they were taking care of.
No, Clark is their age because Carly Rae Beth keeps talking about how cute Clark is for some reason.
I guess for some reason I just read that as like, what an adorable little tot. No. I'm gonna keep him safe in the kindergarten.
No, he's a normal sized boy. And he's canonically got the howdy y'all drawl.
And also, let's not forget that as they leave the barn, they realize the carrots are gone.
Yeah.
The ghost horses have eaten the carrots. I was just like, oh, sweet. Good.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah.
I was like, that's cool. Those carrots won't come up again. Oh my God.
So I think we're just jumping to Carly and Sabrina are asked to like work a double shift overtime
on Halloween. And they're like, hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. 1.5 times pay. Yep. That's going to be like $8 an hour. That sounds great.
Yeah. And they're dressed up as clowns you have to remember for this entire event, they are both dressed up as clowns.
Completely forgot their clowns.
it's so thrown away. Like, this, all right, RL has bars in this book. Like he has like some good lines. I think he does. Like maybe I'm just grateful to be out of the last Horrorland
book. Monster Blood, yeah.
Yeah, Monster Blood was just so horrible. And like, you know, Sabrina's not great to hang out with. She's not like an amazing friend. And Carly Beth isn't that great either. But I don't know. There's some vibes in this. There's like, you know, Halloween, like apple picking, like vibes in it. There's good. There's something
kids
good.
Kids are, no, I hear it. And kids and the fact that these little kids of Tumble Down Farms might be in danger.
Yeah.
There's like multiple threats at midway through the point of the story as we approach Halloween night. There's ghost horses out there who might just trample you.
Yeah. There's a haunted mask. There's a tenuous friendship with Sabrina, who's way too cool for Carly Beth.
Ghost boy, just on rooftops like the alien from Signs.
Yep.
and at this point, I think the mask, Carly Rae goes back for another check of the haunted mask and it is gone. You see the duck costume you mentioned, Kevin.
Yep.
So now, the mask is in play and totally not related, but around the time they're investigating the farm, Carly finds a small, recently dug, grave.
Yeah. And she's like, I wonder what that's about. And I was like, I also wonder what that's about, but it's probably just, you know, it's probably just setting the mood. Like,
yeah,
there is some setup and payoff in this book, which is why I'm kind of fighting for it. Like, I feel like RL might have liked writing this one.
Yeah. Maybe I might reach into it. Maybe at this point he'd been dropping his kid off at a daycare. So he was imagining that.
Yeah.
So this is Halloween.
Yep.
The kids, very cool of these parents to do this, seem to have already fed all of their kids candy and dropped them off here to go to some like swingers party.
Genius play.
And yeah. And the kids are making paper masks, which is like, that's kind of evoking the book.
Yeah.
Carly, I think at this point the teacher has now left to go get some more cider.
Yeah. She's left these kids. She's drinking gin in the janitor closet. Like,
I'll be back in like 20 minutes. It'll be good.
Mrs. Lang is not, should not be trusted around children. She's she's always just abandoning them to do nothing.
Tumbledown Farms maybe needs to be shut down after this.
There should be an investigation after this mask incident for sure. Carly Beth goes to find something like markers or something.
Art supplies.
And she finds a history book and there's a picture of Clark in it. And
that's very convenient, by the way, that in this teacher's room is just like a history of the town, old photos of people.
I won't groan at the convenience of it just because at least the book isn't being difficult at this point.
Going down smooth.
Yeah, it's like, all right, I get it. Let's just let it happen.
So what does she find in the history book? She saw Kevin.
She finds a picture of Clark and she's like, this proves Clark's a ghost. And then Clark shows up and he's got a mask on and he's like, I'm going to scare kids. And she's like, I know you're a ghost. And she pulls a gun on him and he's like, don't shoot.
Is this the point? Have we gotten to the point already where there was one jump scare of Carly saw a green mask and the after cliffhanger is it was the Hulk?
Oh, yeah, that's on Noah. That's on her brother, but
I just thought that was funny out of nowhere. Just be like, ah, what is this? Oh, it's just the Incredible Hulk. Yeah, I couldn't get Wolverine.
There were Disney or Marvel or something had acquired Goosebumps at this point, but there were a lot of pop culture shout outs in this one, I feel.
In reality, that would not be scary because every kid knows what the Hulk is.
Yeah.
The Hulk's just a green man with a bowl cut. Yeah. Like, it's fine.
Seeing a child with a giant, like, Hulk head on their body is just really funny.
Yeah. But fine, whatever. That's fine. Sorry. Clark confronted with this photo of being accused of being a stable boy, which also at this point, Carly Beth, like, you know, what's your end game here? Does Clark go, you got me? And then he vanishes into smoke. I guess she said she pulled a gun on him, so she's ready to take him down.
Yeah, she's like, she's cocked the gun and she's ready to shoot, and he's like, don't shoot. And then Laura is like, I'm evil, and turns ghost mode.
Yeah. There was no other setup. When Laura bursts in and kicked down the doors, I genuinely forgot who she was.
Yeah, I was like, you don't even go here, Laura. Like,
and her motivations are very strange.
Apparently she was responsible for the horse death, and because she died in the horse event, she became a ghost and an evil ghost.
And she had worn the haunted mask years ago. I'm still confused about that timeline, but whatever. I guess the shopkeeper from the original found it and then resold it.
I guess
the vintage store.
Because the haunted mask makes you evil and it pumps you full of evil horse scaring hormones or whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And she wanted to scare the stable boy.
Yeah.
And so she caused the accident but was never blamed for it or mentioned in any of the story.
Right.
But she wants the mask back. To be
scared, to scare the, I wrote this down.
It changes every couple paragraphs. It genuinely jumps around from the only way to save these kids. Oh, because at this point also the kids all have paper masks. We just jumped over that.
Yeah.
The kids all have paper bags stuck to their heads.
Yeah.
They're all suffocating and screaming and running around, which is very funny.
Yeah, it was very adorable and funny in my head, but probably very traumatizing for young children.
Suffocating through very thin wax paper. And Laura's like, if you don't give me the haunted mask back, these kids are going to die or be turned into monsters. Or somehow she is doing this, it seems.
Yeah. Okay. So she wants the mask because she says it's the only way for her to move on to the afterlife. But Carly Rae, thinks that the...
We're just calling her Carly Rae now.
It's the only way I'll remember it. Because for some reason, Carly Beth is not firing in my brain.
That's fine.
Carly Beth doesn't want to give her the mask because she suspects that she's just going to become an even more eviler, more powerful ghost if she gets the mask.
Yeah, but like, what? It doesn't give you like Hulk powers. You know what I mean?
It gives you like apparently like super scream powers. I think it just kind of. I think it might give you some measure of strength. I don't know.
If this was the mask and this was Stanley Ipkiss and it was like, oh, the evil mobster wants the mask to hurt Cameron Diaz, I get it, because it gives you cartoon logic powers. It is very strong. you should not let that evil Damien mobster guy get it. This one, I don't know what the mask would do for her, and it seems like she should give the mask. But it also doesn't matter, because Carly Beth is like, I don't have the mask anymore. It's gone. And Laura's like, liar, you bitch. So, like,
and
no one can do anything about any of this right now.
And Sabrina is actually, is like, I took the mask and I buried it. That's the grave you walked over. And we're like, oh, that's the grave you walked over.
Oh,
Sabrina broke into your house, went into your secret basement, rifled through your things, found the mask and buried it because you wouldn't shut up about it. And then she didn't tell you about that for reasons.
Yeah, I guess if she was like, Carly Beth has an addiction to the mask and I'm going to try to help her the way you, like, chain up your friend who's a werewolf on a full moon kind of thing.
Yeah.
Sure, maybe, but that was not clear. So Carly Beth runs out and digs up the mask and she's like, oh, it's warm. Mm-hmm. It's hungry for evil. And she decides that she must put on the mask in order to gain its powers and fight back. But again, Kevin, I don't think it gives you any powers. If in this, I don't know what she gains other than I'm evil now.
Yeah. Like RL is pretty much saying two wrongs make a right. You got to fight evil.
Cancel each other out.
Yeah. I like that Clark tries to tackle Laura and RL just says you can't tackle a ghost. Like,
yeah, he just passes through. And Clark has a reason for this. If we haven't said, Clark's like, oh, that was my grandfather. So Clark's really trying to avenge his, how would he be the grandfather? If he was a kid, and he didn't have sorry kids.
Well, oh, so the grandpa lived. Grandpa stable boy lived.
I thought the grandpa died.
Yeah, me too. Because there was a stable boy standing on the roof. Right. So like why?
Yeah. Was that Clark?
We don't know. Like, there just was. Was it Laura? Was it like...
You know, in the farm towns, there's just kids climbing around on barns. It's not that crazy.
That is actually true. One time I was driving through the woods near my parents' house, and I just saw a bunch of teenagers with their hoods up standing on top of a shed.
One time in Indiana, I don't know why, I think we were trying to go to like Amish Acres. My mom and I got lost on the highway in farm country. And it's like the middle of the day. It's not scary, but we pulled over in one of the few houses on the road, clearly an Amish house. There's like two little blonde kids playing in the front yard. And I was like, I'm going to get out and go ask them for directions. And I said, the car, Kevin, I am not exaggerating that as she walked to these two little blonde albino kids, like children of the corn looking kids, I watched as, unbeknownst to my mom, at least 10 other identical children appeared on the roof and the tree and the little barn and just like dropped down behind her as she was walking. I swarming her like compy dinosaurs.
Oh my god.
I was in the car going like, Bob, watch out! Like, I was like really scared of these little farm kids. They just swarm you.
I mean, I love my mom, but I might have driven away.
I was like, I think I'm about to watch my mom get eaten by children right now.
That's freaky.
So this one kid on the roof's not that crazy, I guess, but we'll never know who that was.
We'll never know. Okay, so Carly Rae Jepsen masks up and
She pulls out her sword. The crowd goes wild.
Yep. Mrs. Lang shows up for some reason. And she's like, I gotta get
drunk
these kids
off cider.
Yeah, just like totally fucking stumbles in there and is like, I gotta get these kids out of here. And then she does. That's it.
Yeah. And I think like, I'm even looking at the wiki to remember this. It's really just kind of shifts priority so much. So when Carly Beth puts on the mask, Laura's like, I will release my hold on them. Or she just is like, oh, I'm focused. I'm aggroed to Carly Beth.
Yeah. She's trying to hold off Carly Beth. So all of her ghost powers release on the children, since that's taking up her MP or something. And then they scream at each other.
It's a concentration spell. Yeah. She can't do both.
Yeah. She's casting a new one. And then a dozen ghost horses show up and trample the shit out of Laura.
In one of the coolest moments, maybe in all of Goosebumps.
Yeah. Up there with Ghost Cat Tornado from Cry the Cat.
What is the ghost army that Aragorn leads?
The
Yeah, not the Roa Rim.
No, they're the dickheads who like betrayed them or whatever. I don't know.
Yeah, it was like it has been remade.
Gotta be honest, I don't really like the Ghost Army bit. I think it's kind of dumb. But
I think it's a cool summon, but it does kind of lead this like I think I had this during the movie when you kind of see the end of the battle of Pelennor Fields and like you could just watch ghosts summon a war elephant and take it down.
Yeah,
and then Aragorn's like, I release you. I'm like, I don't know, maybe just say, like, technically, this is all part of the big mission. Why don't you all keep getting into Mordor, dude? Like, I get it, why that would ruin the book, but...
Yeah, like, I don't know. I think, like, it's... I get why it exists in the fiction, because, like, he's gotta like, make good with all these other weirdos and act like a true king. But, like, Aragorn, is way better at, like, fight, like... He's a more kingly, less complicated character in the books, and in the movies, he's like, I don't know if I want to be king. In the books, he's like, yeah, hell yeah, man, I'll be king.
Yeah, I don't remember. I didn't remember that much of the books nearly as much of you're is spurning in the blade, that sort of thing.
The ghosts don't really do much for me, but the ghost horses than this
is like this.
Yeah,
is like a cool wave of ghost horses.
But now that Laura has been ghost trampled to death, it's just floating, mangled in the air. We still have the problem of Carly Beth is masked, and they're like, "Oh no, we're gonna have to shoot Carly Beth with the gun we have." And
all the horses raise their hose with a gun. And I just want to clarify: Laura was a witch. Not a ghost?
No, she was an evil ghost.
She was an evil ghost.
Because she died with the mask on. She became an evil ghost or something.
Right, and then the mask must have gone off of her body and wandered into a shop for Carly Beth to buy 100 years later.
I think like in The Haunted Car or whatever, like if you're evil and you die, you become an evil ghost.
Ah, sure.
And
it's like whatever you wear. It's like whatever you're wearing when you die, you go to heaven wearing those clothes.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's how that works.
then why do we bother dressing up corpses in tuxedos if we know that they're just dying in sweatpants?
Put them naked in those boxes. It don't fucking matter.
God don't mind.
He wants to see them bare butts. Getting closer to just doing it. I think you should leave sketch. So I just want to clarify that
Paul's not here for that chat. I'm sorry.
I know. Hey, someone listening? You're welcome. Corn Cop TV? They totally get it.
I don't get it. I don't know what he's talking about. Carrots are a symbol of love.
Coffin drop. Carly Beth, I don't know if she's a great hero in this book. I think her putting on the mask is giving in to the wrong urges. I don't think it's the right lesson. Other than drawing the ghost aggro, which I feel like you could have done in other ways, but just saying, I have the mask. Her turning evil does nothing.
No.
It just makes things worse.
No. But she's able... Yeah, she's not really in control of her own destiny, which is like a problem we have with a lot of Goosebumps characters is that things just kind of happen and not for any specific reason.
Because the book needs to wrap up soon.
Yeah. But a character trait of her being kind to horses ends up winning out because the only thing that can remove the mask is a symbol of love.
It's been established earlier on. Yeah. And only one time it could be done.
Yeah.
Will it work this time? Well, maybe that was a human love last time.
Maybe you need love and the power of 12 dead horses.
Yeah. Stampede of love. I loved visualizing this. The ghost horses surround Carly Beth, who's probably just going like, I'm going to blow stuff up and cheat on my taxes. And the ghost horses just nuzzle her with their ghost noses and muzzles, and like it just makes the mask fall away.
Yep, the mask,
because she gave them carrots, and they loved eating real carrots even though they were ghosts.
Yep, and the mask falls off, and it goes, "See you next ween."
I know. Burn the mask. Yep. Do something with the mask.
Yeah, and like the mask didn't even really do anything. Carly Beth's own dumbassery made her put it on, so it's like, I don't know. But that's the story. That's the story, and now we have a useless Horrorland segment.
These are maybe getting worse as they go on.
This was a bad idea. This was a like this.
I think the idea had merit. It's just being executed poorly.
We're 25% of the way through the Horrorland books, and I think a third of the way through this Horrorland arc. And it just, it hasn't paid off at all. They like, these Horrorland stories end at weird times. Like
no, yeah, yeah. They hit a certain page limit and it just stops.
He's repeating jokes now. Like how many times are we going to see like the quicksand beaches? It's like,
is that calling? Is that giving you frame of reference of where they are on the map, Kevin?
Absolutely not. If he wanted that, he would have drawn a fucking map.
I would have geeked out over a map of Horrorland in this. Like in the video game, they do that. You're like, oh, that's where the vampire barn is. Oh, that's cool. That's where there's a mummy pyramid. I don't know what that has to do with theme parks, but there's a mummy pyramid over there. Cool.
This segment also makes Carly Beth a worse person. Because okay, so we have Mondo the Magical, who doesn't matter.
Well, like, and also, yeah, and we are jumping back into story. By the way, Kevin, I don't know if you noticed, this is the first time the Horrorland series had a recap, because necessary. I think they're realizing they're like, we need this because this is impossible to follow what the hell is going on.
And they also were probably like, oh, people might be coming from the recent reprint of The Haunted Mask. They did a reprint in 2008 of The Haunted Mask. I guess like coincided with this or whatever. So
yeah, that's very insightful. Last book we had, the character had shown up first in Horrorland and then was in the its own book.
Yep.
Now we have, well, we gotta catch back up. We hadn't put Carly Beth and Sabrina in here. So like within two sentences, we're just like, yeah, I got an invite to a free Horrorland amusement park. Don't worry at all about the fact that I am still currently grappling with a haunted mask in my life.
Yep.
Like the way that cliffhanger ends, Carly Beth still has that.
Yeah, that's still an open problem that has not been resolved.
Problem. And it does not feel like it's in her mind at all in this part, other than at one point she thinks she sees the mask and she's like, did the mask follow its way here? I'm like, I don't know, Carly Beth. What have you been doing? What have you been doing since last Halloween?
She Sabrina's here too. And we briefly interact with Billy Deep Williams and other hot boy characters.
Oh, Sheena. Oh, well, there's
There's Sheena Deep, Billy Deep, and Matt Daniels.
I think so. Yeah. And we had last left them. Sheena had gotten sucked into a mirror.
Yep.
In sort of a let's turn invisible reference.
Yep.
And also had seen a vision in the mirror of Molly Malloy and Brittany Crosby.
On a flaming riding, carousel.
Which sounds dope. Yeah. Like, that sounds cool.
Yeah, I like ghost dimensions. I like it when RL like dips into the ghost dimension stuff. Like that's cool. You know, the mirror world. Like that's fine.
But instead we're just having them go, and we're at Horrorland. We decided to go see Mondo's magic show. There's never like a choice of where they wanted to go. Not like, what are they expecting to get out of this place?
And Mondo's magic show is just a normal bad magic show.
Yeah, it's gross. His main trick seems to just be vomiting up balls.
Yeah. And it's like, yeah, I get it. It's a magic show. But I don't know. All of this, like, is Horrorland real? Is it not real? Is it kayfabe? Is it not? Like,
but we know it's, like, if we've read the original Horrorland, we know it's real.
Yeah, but they keep doing this dumb shit. Like here's Mondo the Magician, who's just a normal magician. It's like, we've seen cursed magicians. We've seen,
Does Mondo know what he's doing, or is Mondo just taking a gig and then he's quickly getting in his car in the parking lot, which then blows up before he gets home?
So so Mondo accidentally summons Sheena Deep, and Billy is like, yay, my sister's back. And Carly Beth is like, I do not want anything to do with this. Get me out of here.
Yeah.
Like,
Mondo doesn't even bring her back from a mirror. He's just like, does a replacement trick with his assistant, and Sheena just comes out of the cabinet. Like, cool. I went in through a mirror. I came back through a closet. Whatever. Don't worry about it. I don't really remember what I was there. It was like another world.
Yeah. And I don't know if like RL is doing like a Beauvoirian passionate man kind of thing here, where like Carly Beth has freedom and refuses to free other people because she's obsessed with her own shit. I don't know if RL is on his ethics of ambiguity shit here, but like it's touched on too lightly for my tastes, you know?
Yeah.
Saving Sheena is I don't know, the fact that Sheena just kind of came back without any real stakes or any choices the kids did, like, it's not even like, oh, one of them chose to go up on stage and be part of the magic trick, and by braving that, they're rewarded with Sheena. It was just, we were in the crowd, we're all talking, and Sheena's there back. And you know what? There's that monster Byron that is maybe trying to help us. We should find him.
Byron's missing, and, like, other characters are missing, and we gotta find him, but, like, we just got here. Why do we have to find them anyway? Which is kind of, like, again, I don't like that Carly Beth is, like, selfishly trying to keep out of this thing, but, like, it doesn't, if she was more like, yeah, okay, bet, let's go with it, like, we could, I think we could move a little faster, but we're really not in this horror land for too long. We're just moving, like, pieces around a board, really.
Yeah.
And we end really abruptly in the werewolf village after we hear Marcus and Bubba, two other dumb, stupid horrors, just talk to each other vaguely about the events that are transpiring.
We're gonna do it to them. It's like, what they're saying. You're like, what does that mean? Is they're eating black ice cream? Just,
yeah.
I love a good grunt. I do love a good dumb grunt. But, like, yeah, these are dumb horrors.
But I like a goon too. Like, let no one say that I am opposed to gooning. I love a good
goon. I love a bunch of goons. I love when they're all gathered together.
A goon gather?
Like a cave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, like, they go into Werewolf Village or Werewolf Woods, and they get attacked by wolves. And then it just kind of ends.
Well, wait, can we talk about, just not to, it does just kind of end. The only thing that raised my eyebrows in this entire section was, one, going to Werewolf Woods, which, from the DreamWorks CD game, Werewolf Village is, like, horrifying. Because it's live motion guys in werewolf suits, and they're very scary, and it really freaked out young Chad. So I was like, oh, they're Werewolf Village. I can't believe it.
But it did nothing to me.
No. Well, so the part of the book, without knowing that part of the game, was just, instead of, what did they just see? Men. Shirtless men in cages.
Yes, yeah.
And, like, whoa, this is getting a little kinky here. These kids should not be in this part of this is maybe adults 21 and over part of Horrorland.
What, Horrorland After Dark or whatever?
Yeah, they never interact with these men. Like, it just sounded like, I don't think you've ever seen Twilight, Kevin, but, like, you know when, like, the werewolf boys
that's the nicest compliment anyone's ever given me, is that you don't think I've seen Twilight. I haven't, but it's still nice. But
when, like, the werewolf boys in those movies are just, like, they're just dudes in, like, khaki pants, yeah, and none of one's wearing shirts. It just seemed like that. A bunch of normal men.
Well,
hanging around in khakis, well, and, like, maybe talk to them, see if they need help.
Well, 2008, I guess, kind of around, where was I in 2008? I was probably starting college, or graduating from high school. I guess Twilight is kind of around that time.
No, not even think RL was God. What do you think RL thinks of Twilight? Do you think he's read that?
I bet he has, like, an academic opinion of it. He's probably, like, you know, because, you know, Fear Street is kind of close. Like, it's not as horny. It's not allowed to be, but
no, I, you know what, at this point, I would just want anything. I'd be fine with Fear Street getting hornier. Let's do it. Something. Give us something. Yeah. So they don't really do anything with the werewolves. It doesn't really matter. As they're passing by, they see a mask store, and Carly Beth's like, is this the haunted mask? No, just another mask. Yeah, but the mask,
it's just
talk and whisper things to them.
We're just kind of putting Carly Beth through her trauma again by going into the mask store, and, like, the one horror is like, go to the back room, and it doesn't do it. It's for nothing.
No. Yeah. And while they're going around, they see an ad for the Wheel of Fire, a ride describing the carousel that they had seen.
Yeah.
So there's sort of a, like, well, if we find that, we can find those two missing girls.
And they can't find it on the map. And then they get separated, and then Marcus and Bubba, and then Werewolf Village.
Yeah, and we had Lost in the Woods, and it ends on cliffhanger of a figure leaps out at them, and we never know who. We'll find out next book.
There's a whole, like, story in between a figure leaping out at them, and, like, we got the next one is about a kid who makes webcomics, which I can't wait to read.
Oh my god, is that what it's about? I'm so excited.
Yeah, his webcomic villains come to life and kick the shit out of him.
Dr. Maniac versus Robbie Schwartz.
Yep. But we got to make it through all the way through Dr. Maniac versus Robbie Schwartz. And then the figure was still leaping out at us as it was at the end of the last Horrorland section.
And we're already like, well, maybe, you know, I think maybe one of the main mistakes of this is stop. They don't need to introduce every kid in these books.
No.
Into Horrorland at this point. Like Sabrina and Carly Beth felt very forced into the story, where they have no stakes. It's not like Sabrina's missing and she's trying to find her.
And they actively don't want to be there.
Well, I guess they chose to go like, oh, this will be fun. We got free tickets, yeah. Whatever.
But they don't want to be involved in this whole overplot thing. So while they're denying the call, like everyone else is already like most of the way into the hero's journey at this point.
Yeah. I at this point, I would actually really hope that like the next couple chapters of Horrorland don't put Robbie Schwartz in it, even if he's the best character in all of Goosebumps. I don't need to know how he thinks about Horrorland. And like maybe by like book 8, have one more of these characters run into it. You're like, oh, that's cool. I didn't think they were gonna pop up. What a surprise.
Listen, if the next Horrorland doesn't have a monster blood skeleton pirate wearing a haunted mask being piloted like a mecha by Slappy. Then what are we?
Just a homunculus of all of them.
Yeah, what are we building here? Like, what?
I don't know. That is kind of the appeal, it seems like, of Horrorland, of all of the Goosebump stuff is all gathering here.
But we've seen nothing like to suggest that there are pirates or monster blood or anything. Well, I guess there's been hints of monster blood, but that's
no. And the Horrorland's not even like tightening the screws to them like normal Horrorland books, where it kind of feels like, oh, they have a limited amount of time before the park either kills them or this has not come up since the first book. I think about it every time. The first book ends with the reveal that like the entire Horrorland premise is a reality show for monsters.
Yeah.
Right. Like it's like Impractical Jokers for monsters.
Yeah. It's like a Crank Yankers for monsters.
Yeah. And there is none of that in this. And at this point, I don't know, like, does this still even track with the story that like, there's cameras everywhere, and you're trying to freak kids out.
Yeah, no,
like, I don't know.
No mention of camera. Well, I mean, in the first one, there was actually one mention of a digital camera taking a picture of Slappy, and Slappy took a selfie or something like that. But yeah, like what? My complaints remain the same, and it had better start like coalescing somewhat, because I agree, we're too many cannon fodder kids that don't matter.
I'm giving so much merit to him. Byron is the only interesting thing in this.
Just yes, La Resistance, the secret undercurrent of resistance among the horrors.
A monster that wants to stop it or has another reason. I'm sure it's going to be something stupid of like Byron going, I'm actually, to bring it back to Wonka, like I'm, what was his name? Slughorn?
Slug something.
Yeah, whatever. Like, I'm actually working for Wonka, and you thought I was on the other side. Like, it'll be something stupid like that. But I'm kind of tell me more about that. Have Byron, like, pull him in to the resistance at this point, and, like, you got to go on the rides and test all the rides for vulnerabilities or something. I don't know. Like,
or make Byron, like, a framing device or whatever. Like, maybe, like, we get one character that sticks around instead of this revolving door of idiots.
I'm losing hope in the Horrorland branching narrative.
I mean,
I see some. Yeah.
I thought this main book, like the meat of this book, the non-Horrorland portion, was good. It RL seemed to be having fun with it. It felt a little bit like a Fear Street Junior. I don't know. It was all right. I didn't want to rip my eyeballs out.
Sure. I think, and I get why. Haunted Mask is a big, big name for Goosebumps. I think this should have been not a Haunted Mask story.
I agree. I agree.
You could take the entire thing out, and it works better as a haunted ghost horse.
Haunted barn. Pile of dead ghost horses is just it's better. Like,
yeah, that's and it breaks my heart because horses are beautiful, fragile creatures. Even though the fact that they can just kill you instantly with a kick to the head, Kevin,
yeah,
like terrifying.
I think the casual cruelty of killing 12 horses is just still,
yeah,
it just goes over the top for me. Like, RL.
In terms of maybe one of the four, I don't know. Maybe the best one of it. Yeah. That's not saying much.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't feel particularly great about any of these.
We have at least, looking ahead, we have at least a couple more evocations of famous Goosebump books.
Okay.
Say Cheese and Die Screaming is coming up.
Sure.
When the ghost dog howls. So I'm assuming that's the actual ghost dog.
Okay.
Another Slappy book. Before that, yeah, I'm very excited for Doc. I did not know as a webcomic artist. That is going to be fantastic.
I briefly glimpsed the synopsis and he makes webcomics, I'm pretty sure.
That's okay, cool. Well, we'll have to read this one. And also, you know, hey, if you want to help guide what we're covering on the next episodes, the best way to do that is support the show on Patreon. I think recently we did a poll of our readers and kind of told us what they want to see more of.
Yeah.
I think the lowest voted one was more of the Goosebumps TV show. So, you know, maybe we'll get around to that at some point if you're one of those listeners that really wanted to it. But I think we're going to focus more on Horrorland and adventure and other YA books. And
yeah.
Yeah. Goosebumps RPG, maybe.
Yeah. Eventually getting Goosebumps RPG. Yeah. Hopefully.
Yeah, just some wires to cross and we'll be all good.
Yep, we gotta electrocute ourselves and then we'll do it.
But by doing that, not only does you get access to guiding our eyes and hands, you get access to our Discord with a really cool community on there.
Yeah.
And you also get access to bonus episodes. Every month we put out Camp Goosebuds, which is all banter. Fun time around the digital campfire. There are dozens upon dozens of Camp Goosebuds episodes at this point you can listen to, all on patreon.com/goosebuds.
Yeah, I gotta shout out our Discord too, because it's actually a really nice group of people. I'm not so much on social media anymore, just because I don't know how in this new age, but just seeing folks on Discord, like, you know, sharing funny stuff, and like one of our patrons is sending me pictures of cool motorcycles that they found abroad, and I'm like, that's great, I love this. Well,
yeah, there's like a Carnival TV book club starting, which is one of my favorite old shows that no one watched, so like, pretty cool.
Yeah,
pretty proud of the Discord, right?
Yeah, Discord's great. Yeah. Thank you everyone for being super cool on the Discord.
Thank you so much. And beyond supporting the show on Patreon, like we said, social media is dying. but if you can tell one friend verbally about the podcast, spread the word, share an episode with them, sure. Or see if they'd like it. That's the best way to spread the word on the show.
Yeah.
Kevin, also other stuff to have. You got a game jam coming up.
I've got a game jam coming up. Depending on when you're listening to this, the game jam's happening this March. You can find out the exact dates on jam.supertrystudios.com. I'm going to Boise, Idaho to run a game jam and also participate in it. My friend Paul Ritchie of Goosebuds and Continue is going to be a judge. And
I didn't know that. Paul's a tough judge.
Yeah. So I'm gonna try and impress Paul a little bit, but it's a very low stakes, chill kind of thing. Like, it's just, if you want to make a game in like kind of a fun environment and ask me questions about games as I make games with you, join the jam. It's gonna be a good time. Jam.supertrystudios.com. And if you like the fact that I make things like podcasts and video games and stuff, you can always support my work at givekevinmoney.com, or just play my games at supertrystudios.com.
Hell yeah. I wish I had something else to plug. I've been working on something. It's not going to come out for like another 2 years. It's going to be so cool, though. It's going to be so cool, y'all. Mark my words. It's a cool project, and it starts with a vowel.
I don't know what it is, because I'm not allowed to know, but it's...
You're not allowed to know. It's going to be so cool.
It's going to be great, because Chad's doing it, so... Yeah.
Oh, thanks. But yeah. In the meantime, you can check out some of my previous stuff. Star Trek Prodigy is now on Netflix.
Oh, you're on a D&D show now too.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ! Of course. Thank you, Kevin. Yeah, I just started up a new D&D show with friends of the podcast, Holly Conrad, who's been on as a guest a long time. I realized she was on episode 14.
Whoa!
When we covered Animorphs, it's been that long.
That's awesome.
So we might need to have Holly back.
Yeah.
But she is running a new D&D show on her Twitch, her Twitch channel is Bird Holly. We are doing Blackstaff Academy, which is a magical school in the D&D realms, Forgotten Realms. I am playing a sleep focused mage named Crispin Crumbles.
Excellent name.
He just wants to be able to have a good night's sleep, which has maybe been influenced by real life events in my life.
Friend of the show, Kayla Klein, is also participating in it.
Yep. Who does all of our great merch. By the way, go check out goosebuds.store if you want some cool Goosebuds swag. And also Hadil and Katie, two also wonderful D&D internet people, are all playing. We just put our first episode out. We're doing it every other Sunday. Our next game is actually on Sunday, March 17th at 3 p.m. Pacific. You can watch that on twitch.tv/birdholly, and then they'll go up on her YouTube channel next couple days after. Really, really fun group. It's making me... It's like going to Hogwarts without all the turf shit. So,
incredible pitch.
Thank you. It's a pretty fun world. I'm very excited to see where it goes. And hey, if you played Baldur's Gate 3, there's been multiple mentions of Gale. Gale might show up. His cat's there.
Whoa!
Because canonically, Gale taught at Blackstaff, I guess.
That's awesome.
So, but yeah, check that out. It'll be every other Sunday from there on. And it's been a very fun group. But yeah, check that out. And then we'll have more episodes of Goosebuds coming out this month, and another Camp Goosebuds. And Paul will be back from his spice, eat, pray, spice trip.
Yeah. We'll get Paul and his 11 secret herbs and spices back.
Otherwise, that's been a Goosebuds. Kevin, thank you for once again being my friend, co-host, and sharing these books with me.
Chad, thank you for being my friend and for being friends with Paul and for friending me on social media and for
the singing, one good thing to come out of social media so long ago,
and for singing the Friends theme with me sometimes.
I'll be there for you. Until next time,
bye everybody.
Bye. This episode of Goosebuds is brought to you by our wonderful Patreon supporters, especially those in the very special level of the Book of Names.
Book of Names, Book of Names.
Starting with Stefan Jive Turkey Kuwabara.
Low Belly Hate Me.
Hollis Hornbeak.
Nathan Dolezal.
Mike Lanteri.
Mickey C.
Michael McDowell.
Hey Josh Rob.
Cameron Murphy Audio.
Buddy Morrill.
Mel Dipson.
Elcade.
Afshin.
Dango Twiss.
Zenticles.
Stealth Bates.
Robert Moon.
Brian Wells.
Jason Crooker.
Miguel Pardo.
John Keaty.
Clay Castle.
Calf.
The Juggalobalist.
Rite Aid sucks and is committing fraud. You heard it here first.
I keep meaning to look that up. I don't know what that means or if it's true. I'll try and look that
allegedly
up.
Allegedly committing fraud in the Book of Names.
But we're just reading the names. This isn't legally binding, but they probably are. Gregory D. Warren.
Cody Redfield.
Bradford Coulter.
Aiden is taking karaoke suggestions. Kiss from a Rose. Best one ever do.
Damn, seconded. Jar Jar Slinks.
Chosen One.
Levi Than.
Up and Champ.
Jonas Engman.
The John D. and Catherine T. MacArthur Foundation.
Thank you. Carl.
Anthony Mulberry.
Yanni Markovina.
Elusive Koala.
Christian Vonskiver.
Brooke X.
Jesus Christ.
Jeremy Lowe.
Brian Hobgood.
Zach Connor.
Patreon_donator, yo.
Joe Spooky Digital Ghost Tierney.
Whoa, Tom Whittem.
Lord Cornwallis.
Anthony's funny name made Andrew Jadzik laugh. It makes us laugh too.
Ho 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 ho. Murphy P.
Carson Perkinbean.
Devin Ticklebean, hidden in the trees outside Ice Church with an egg sock, I presume to defend it.
Wabam! Sean Minogue.
Rushy Glenn.
Wiggle it.
Luke LaFountain.
Matt McClellan.
Chip Handsome.
Tanya Turtle.
Alicia Grafe.
Juan Jalapena.
Timothy Misudelakis.
Reinfected.
Keith Halcrow.
Clay McCarty.
Ham_boat.
The Crow Fens, but seasonal.
Raymond Hernandez.
Matthew Sutton.
John Barber.
Jeff Coffey. Jeff Coffey. Jeff Coffey. Jeff.
Jeff Coffey.
Jeff Coffey. I need some Jeff Coffey.
Sarah Kemp.
Kelsey Kinneman.
Jonas Blotterman.
Russell Casper.
Xavier Jimenez Castillo.
Scotty Pippen.
Chris Putrekis.
Flannelly.
Tobias Clark.
Dungeon Kappa.
Zach Weir.
Limp Duck.
ice descendant hamster in the ice part of the ice. Yes. That's a great part of the ice to be in.
Freeze him or unfreeze him or do something. Alex Moon, the robotic dog.
Meet Virginia.
Paul Grasso.
Joe, a regular Dave Scott.
Well, Estimena, Lord of Paul's Pants.
Luke Noodles.
Zambambino.
Hugh Bolin.
Chris, Sleepy Time Ghost Dick, Nelson.
It's getting more crass as time goes on. Streak!
Kieran McNamara.
Diet Soda.
Lamb.
Jackie L.
Coleman Laguza.
A pair of Scots.
Nathan Remick.
Levi Kidder.
Getting frisky in the lobster bisky.
White cream. David Gray.
Need more kimchi.
Matthew Brittato.
Bryce Dury.
I finally escaped from Paul's vent because the bit was getting old. Bye-bye.
Paul finally escaped from our vent. Lee Wood.
Oh, no. Again, we gotta contain him. Jonas Ennevoldsen.
Reed Steubendieck.
Ma! The meatloaf!
Joey Evans.
Boney.
Some of Chad's bird friends chirp happily at Canadian Ghoul. That's some good millet.
Caw-caw! Joe Gorman.
Carewise Gamgee.
Burger's Wonderful World.
Nicholas Maloney.
Cameron Hansen.
Andre Villanueva.
A wild swaggy YOLO squire appears.
Tiffany Lee.
Eric Horowitz.
Thomas Jancis.
The Deadly Bulb.
Mutant Astronaut.
Lucretia McEvil.
Generally Depressing.
Henry Torbert.
Ben Bahan.
Boner Guard Epsilon Hamilton, aka Hambone, host of Radio Bonaire.
Tacky Tammy.
Adam Knapp.
The entity under the ice is actually Meemal. Oh.
Oh my god, we gotta keep it down there.
Excellent.
All those Midwestern states. Logan Derby.
It was really deep under the ice, chick.
Yeah, the size of it. Brad Schmelzer.
Germ Juice.
Calamity Carl.
Callum, Mr. Misfire West.
Skeletorin.
Nick Johnson.
Mandy Nasty.
Joplin.
Philip Reynolds.
Ryan Carroll.
Nate BitG.
Jeremy Bowser.
Mr. Unimportant thought it was Goblin Greater with a T this whole time. Oh, oh, those poor goblins getting minced up.
A little extra flavor to your chicken parm.
I need some goblin skin in my cooked dungeon. Yeah.
I'd try it. Scott Wabel.
Ryan R. Davis.
Megan McCormick Mason.
Rocco!
Omega Bagel. Hey, Josh.
You zealot. Hey, Josh. Ninja Breadman.
Hello to Kiss Frenchland.
Evdog.
Aaron Lord.
Dr. Chuck.
Llama Lad.
Robot Arena.
Greg Musto.
SSJ Trogdor.
Sprinkle Buns.
Hi, first time, long time.
Allie Rose.
Mike Spaghetti Jones.
Ollie Sutz.
Mike Cart.
Kate the Great.
Gulliver.
Cassandra Harris.
Red Baron.
Delta 8 made Steve Buscemi into a chili-making god.
I don't know if I understand what that means.
I don't either. I just say these. I just read them out loud.
It's in the book of names. This next name is my favorite.
Kira and Brian are big fans.
Also, you know what's big? Big Nick Lane.
Love the big corner we have. Soggy newspapers.
Yeah. Little big bump in the book of names. John W.
Dakota Kemp.
Chris Kulik.
Blake Cavan.
Dan Antonio!
Farah, right?
Saturn Video.
Kiwi O'Flurve.
Serial Killer X.
Quest humbly asks whoever reads this for a goblin to grade. Did we do the weird Final Fantasy 14 goblins that have like the mask and the goggles yet? Let's try those guys.
I don't think so. Yeah, grade those.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said that so dismissive. Grade those, Quest. That. Yeah.
Put that in your paper and grade it.
Jesse.
Cole Gleason.
Chris Curto.
Michael Malloy.
Jesse Boggs.
Kyle O'Neill.
Kit Bush.
Sirison.
Yover the Moon.
Goon like a henchman. Cahoots.
Dennis Wright.
Cameron Gonzeveld.
I just realized why Goon needed to specify what kind of a goon he was. I'm sorry, Goon. You did it first before it was a thing. Rat IRL.
Wonderskin. We love chaste gooning around here.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Tan Your Hide.
Matt Scepter.
Greg Gervasi, a.k.a. Vita Zen.
Brony underscore Danza.
Anthony Stoker.
Wonderskin again.
I love this double Wonderskin, but also you should never put on two Wonderskins at the same time. No. It rubs each other out.
Yeah, that's what it does. Paul got tall and skeeted on all tonight at 11.
Jesus.
Paul's already pretty tall.
Already pretty tall. God. Imagine the height that he can skeet.
Yeah, I shudder to think.
Max de la Fontanelle.
Doglips underscore Kajoyan.
B.
Anthony Rodriguez.
Time eats flesh. Whoa. Yes, it does.
Damn, dude. Wasn't ready for a truth bomb in the middle of the book.
It's too early in the day to think about it.
S.
Just an Alpaca acquaintance.
A.K.A. Cyberbully.
It's a cyber dwarf right there. Jeff, Big Baby, and his wife, not a big baby. You're back to being a big baby, Jeff. Good for you.
Wow, Blue Gunge.
Turaku, the thing that goes doink in the anime.
Doink. Tron Legacy 3D, starring Paul Ritchie as Gore.
I would watch the fuck out of that. God.
I feel like if Paul were in this physical realm, he'd appreciate all the Paul shoutouts this week.
Just picturing him just spinning around with like frisbees in his hand. Just
he's been Tron.
Blarbin, team pour over with light roast all day.
Do love light roast. Gotta get back into that life. Starship 9.
Spencer Y.
Logan Kilgus.
Bosferatu.
Greb Comics has become a slug.
Whoa. Stay away from all the salt. Shadowheart Gun D. Tyrannosaurus. What a name.
Problem Child 2 on DVD.
The better Problem Child. Whoa. Chris's Casa contains Cinco Canines.
Oh, bark, bark, bark.
I hope that's true. I hope you have that for your life.
Canadian Ghoul gives scritches and millet to some of Chad's bird friends. Millet, 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 millet.
R.I.P. Peyton Whaley, his parachute didn't open while flying over the Indiana droid. Let's have a moment of silence for him. That is a really good reference.
Peyton would live. He'd just land three-point landing Hulk style.
Yeah, three-point landing hero stance, and then go, did you know that this place used to be a fairground?
Kumquat Behavior Podcast.
Elodie.
Clint Deerking.
Agents Miskatonic.
Smelodies.
Nail 7.
Angelo Edward Longton Santone.
Caleb Snyder kept forgetting to change his name.
Lumo Nuva.
Brian Udath.
Ben Floyos. Floyos. Floyos Sayer.
Yeah. Yeah, Ben, how do you say that? Can you message us? We'd like to know.
Help us, Ben.
Herpy Derpy drowns in dumb as shit sauce.
Yay. Brian Storo.
Bob Cabbage. Oh no, my Bob Cabbages.
The Shrekuronomicon.
Pope J. Farr of the Cult of the Eternal Flame offers the continuous candle to Paul's Ice Church efforts.
Number one gnome. Number one gnome.
Jolly Old Jules.
C.L. Reagan.
Justin.
Ryan Coyle.
Jaybird.
Taylor Garofalo.
MC Wright.
Tig Ass Biddies 007. Smoke weed every day.
Smoke weed every day. Nintendo 60 Jorts. Keep making good music.
Matt Noah.
Old Black Man.
Crazy Ass Nipples.
Quinn.
Jorge Rea Navarro.
Jacob Leach.
Daniel Lavelle.
And welcome to the Book of Names, Mimel the Delf. So the dad elf?
Tell us what that means. JK.
Yeah, tell us what it means. And welcome to the Book of Names, Jim Corey. Thank you all so very much for your love and support.
We love you.
We love you. Goodbye.
Goodbye.